Hi, boys and girls. Like you, Santa is listening to the Merry Little Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com. Oh, 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 oh,
oh. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
Merry Christmas and welcome to the Merry Little Podcast. My name is Jeff Westover, head of the Charles Dickens Fan Club at the Merry Forums of MyMerryChristmas.com. Our Merry Little Podcast here is a joint production with My Merry Christmas and Kringle Radio, our year-round commercial-free radio stream, exclusively for the premier members of MyMerryChristmas.com. For Christmas fans, the hype and hope of Christmas movies in 2017 lies in a film titled The Man Who Invented Christmas, which allegedly hopes to tell the Christmas story of Charles Dickens. The hope for this movie is obvious. First of all, it's a drama, not a lame, weak-kneed, crass, profane comedy, which is nearly all the Christmas movies that the ones we've had in recent years have been. Well, that and slasher films that focus on Krampus are movies that would make Santa out to be another Avenger. This Dickens movie has some promise because it has a great cast. It has Dan Stevens, famous these days for playing the Beast in Beauty and the Beast and for playing Matthew Crawley on Downton Abbey. He gets to play Charles Dickens in the lead role. And the film also stars Christopher Plummer, who gets to play Ebenezer Scrooge. And that alone makes the Christmas fanatic who has starved for a great Christmas movie just shiver in anticipation. But I tell you, not so fast. You might want to look at this one with the jaundiced eye. You see, this movie is based on a book by Les Standiford, a so-called historian and novelist who hails from Florida International University. I've read his book. His book, like the movie, is titled The Man Who Invented Christmas, and that title alone is reason enough for you to be very wary of any kind of truth you'll get from the movie. Charles Dickens, boys and girls, did not invent Christmas. And you know this. Christmas has been around for thousands of years before Dickens, so the odds that he could invent Christmas or save Christmas or even make Christmas is one that is mistaken. It's flawed. It's dumb in its assumptions. And if they're doing this with just the title alone, you can bet that they will distort just about anything else having to do with Charles Dickens. Of course, I haven't seen the movie. Nobody has. So what I'm about to tell you is merely a prediction of the dumb things this story is about to push on you. The first thing they are going to try to get you to swallow is that Christmas was a washed-up holiday before Dickens came along. They will try to tell you that if it were not for Charles Dickens, we wouldn't be celebrating Christmas today. And that's hogwash. It's stupid, and don't you believe it. Now, as I share these things with you, I don't want you thinking for a second that I take anything away from the great Charles Dickens. I just wish he was around to tell his own story rather than leave it to the profiteers of Hollywood who use films to push people towards an agenda, or to so-called historians like this guy who have books to peddle and too often look at Christmas with far too narrow of a view of time and, oddly, of history. In fact, in a way here, by putting out the truth and casting down the myth, I feel I'm defending Dickens in my own way, and I think he would want the truth to be told about his story. It's one of my annual traditions to read A Christmas Carol, just as Dickens wrote it, and I do it every year. I read it slowly, and I often read it out loud. And I confess I cannot help slipping into my lousy British accent whenever I read Dickens aloud. Dickens, by the way, used to read A Christmas Carol aloud as well. He was very famous for his public performances of his own work. He loved the story. It's not a required thing to do it in an English accent, but I'm sure he did it. Dickens was a master of expression. He writes like many of us wish we could write. He's a joy to read, and that, boys and girls, is the reason why A Christmas Carol was a success. That and, oh yeah, it just happens to be a great story. Funny how that works. Christmas wasn't invented, though. It wasn't saved, it wasn't revived, it wasn't restored, and it wasn't redefined by Charles Dickens. It's gone through periods of abuse, and there have been times where it was popular and times where it was less celebrated, but it has never not happened. And it most certainly was plenty popular around the world during the lifetime of Charles Dickens and before. The first truth of Charles Dickens is that Christmas was already enjoying a whole new era of popularity for decades before Dickens wrote A Christmas Carol. The resurgence of Christmas, if you can call it that, really began with the widespread publication of newspapers. And if one literary work took advantage of the media at that time, it was A Visit from St. Nicholas by American Clement Moore, which was written nearly two decades before A Christmas Carol. Many of our modern icons and elements of the season really started coming together in the 1820s and 30s and 40s. Christmas cards, Christmas trees, even Christmas music, they were all enjoying a resurgence at that time. So Dickens really just rode a very popular wave, but he didn't save a thing. In fact, if there's any truth to be told here, Dickens didn't save Christmas. Christmas saved Dickens, and he would be the first to admit it. It's always existed, even long before Christ, and it will always exist and be beloved long even after this historian, so-called, Les Standiford, is dead. In fact, this movie, I fear, will be so agenda-driven and watered down and full of myths that it will be forgotten as quickly as some of the many film versions of A Christmas Carol have become. Lie number two they will tell you in this movie is that Dickens was a has-been, that he was washed up and desperate, and that his career as a writer was over. And that's pure poppycock. Dickens was just 31 years old when A Christmas Carol was written. He had been married for maybe a half dozen years, and he and his wife had only had half of their family of 10 children by this date. But Dickens had hit a lull professionally, but that's all it was. But was that even true? Well, that's hard to say. Dickens was an obsessive, compulsive individual. He was rarely at ease. Any creative genius will tell you there are seasons to their creativity. And those with anxiety issues will tell you that creativity comes in fits and starts. And Dickens was an anxious man. Whatever season Dickens endured in the years before A Christmas Carol, he surely gave way to a blessed season of fantastic creativity as he produced that story. His non-holiday works that came after A Christmas Carol were just as masterful as anything he had done before, and all you have to do is read them to know that. Lie number three they will tell you is that before A Christmas Carol, Dickens hated Christmas. And Dickens did not hate Christmas. In fact, he reveled in it. He loved it. In this respect, he was Fezziwig, not Scrooge. Dickens was not anti-religion either. In fact, his religious background is all over A Christmas Carol. And that leads us to lie number four. They will likely say that Dickens was an atheist, or at least echoing the great God deniers of the 19th century, like that other guy named Charles, he being Darwin. And I say that's baloney. Any reader of A Christmas Carol, any reader of Dickens, knows that Scrooge was found after ghost number three on his knees and begging God for forgiveness. This is a theme of the story. It's what it's all about. The world of spirits that Dickens writes were not blasphemous or unholy, and redemption for Scrooge was found in his reversal of faith. In fact, the theme of redemption from the darkness of greed and sin is a common Christian theme, and it is at the very heart of Christmas. That is why A Christmas Carol made such an impact then and why it still makes an impact today. The casual fans of Christmas may not know that the debates of Charles Dickens and whether or not he was religious have survived for well over 150 years. Many atheist authorities claim that Charles Dickens was atheist, and he was not. But the fact that they are making his story into a major motion picture means the debate is over, and Hollywood, no doubt, will not paint Dickens as a man of faith. That's why you've got to read Dickens to know Dickens. Don't trust the movies or the plastic version of history that so many so-called historians like Les Standiford paint of Christmas. Dickens, like Christmas itself, was deliciously complex. He was astute, clever, even weird, you could say. Religion influenced his writings just as much as the times he lived in influenced him and what he wrote. Dickens was born middle class, but was cast into the child labor pool of the early 19th century that was a hallmark of England at the time, a pre-industrial revolution reality that would drive the social warriors of today crazy, just as it maddened Charles Dickens at the time. Take a listen.
Look here! Beneath my robe, look upon these. What are they? They are your children. They are the children of all who walk the earth unseen. Their names are ignorance and want. Beware of them. For upon their brow is written the word doom. They spell the downfall of you and all who deny their existence.
No refuge, no resource.
Are there no workhouses? Are there no prisons?
Cover them. I do not wish to see them.
I thought as much.
A Christmas Carol is a horror story of sorts, and many modern film versions of A Christmas Carol either eliminate or diminish the tortured children of ignorance and want that Dickens describes in the story. It's just too graphic for a family holiday story. Scrooge was horrified by it. Dickens was horrified by it. We are horrified by it. But you see, Dickens lived it. He survived it. He saw it. And he took it to a head in A Christmas Carol. That wasn't because he wasn't a believer in God, but rather that he was a critic of man and society, and his point both then and now is well taken. Dickens was a champion of education. He was a steadfast campaigner for public libraries, and I believe he would thrill in the age of information that we live in today if he could see it. He showcased the twin evils of ignorance and want, not because he had an agenda, but because he felt, as many others did and as many do now, that Christmas was a season to think about this stuff and to do something about it. Remember, Scrooge could be saved. The man who asked, "Are there no poorhouses?" who encouraged those who wanted to die to hurry up and do it, he could change. And Christmas is the time and the reason to do it. That's the central theme of the story of Ebenezer Scrooge. In fact, when it comes to Dickens' perceived career crisis in the early 1840s, what you see is a man who hit a lull, not because what he wrote was bad, but rather the creator of those works was bitter. He was angry, dissatisfied, disaffected, and seeing his fellow man with a dark heart that was, for a period of time at least, devoid of charity. In fact, you could say that Scrooge was modeled after Dickens himself, that his darkness and his bitterness and his rage was a reflection of what Dickens himself was feeling. Dickens also had a drinking problem, not uncommon characteristic for highly creative individuals. For Dickens in the 1840s, while in his early 30s, the struggle was very, very real. That's the story we hope is told, and not the lies of an agenda that would have you believe that Christmas enjoyed a resurgence because of a man who left faith and religion behind. That's just not true. I hope I'm wrong about this movie, and time will certainly tell. Will we be talking about the man who invented Christmas in the years ahead? Or will the movie be forgotten while the legend of Dickens continues to grow? Thank you for joining us here on the Merry Little Podcast. Join us at the Merry Forums of MyMerryChristmas.com, where all the premier members will get to enjoy episode number 58 of the Merry Podcast, titled "Christmas When It Ain't, a Surefire Hour of Fun and Frivolity." For all of us at the Merry Forums, I'm Jeff Westover, wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas.